I didn't need to know. I did not need to know. All right, Danielle, hi. How are you feeling?
COVID sucks.
So,
really not bad physically right now. So, that's good.
Okay. So, Danielle has COVID. She is not a superhero, we've found out, but she actually has a pretty, very mild, I shouldn't say pretty, extremely mild.
Extremely mild. I'm very lucky.
So if the sound is weird, I messed up and forgot to drop her off a microphone. So apologies if the sound is a little weird this week.
He's the producer. So you just say Kieran forgot to do it.
Well, Kieran was like, why didn't you tell? He left the door open. I was like, why is the door open? He's like, your sister's coming over. I'm like, she has COVID. We're Zooming. He's like, oh, I thought Matt was Zooming in. I was like, no, Danielle is Zooming
in. Why would
in.
I come over and Matt?
I swear. It's like 25% of his brain is listening to me at one time. The rest is thinking about, I don't know, guitars and engineering.
We all do that. So
the sexy, sultry voice that you're hearing is my brother-in-law, Danielle's husband.
No one's ever heard my voice like that. Thank you.
Yeah, sexy soul chaser.
So many people say things about your voice.
They say it should be on radio, but I feel like in this day and age, it's not really a compliment, you know?
Why? Because it means you're ugly?
No, you have a great, I would say it's a compliment. Ugly. It's a good podcasting voice because you know how many podcasts I try to listen to? And I'm like, ooh, that is a very annoying voice. I cannot listen to that. Yeah.
Okay. Or I guess it's better than them saying you have a face for radio.
Yeah.
Like, that's rude.
Announcer voice. That's a cool thing to say. An announcer voice.
I guess so. I can't really, you know.
He doesn't take compliments very well.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's
that's right. That is right.
So Matt has a really cool YouTube channel and Instagram. Matt, do you want to say a little something about it?
Not really, but I will.
I told him, he was like, no, we're not doing that.
my passion is fish tanks and fish, and particularly freshwater fish. And so I have a YouTube channel and an Instagram page. And it's called One Tank, Two Tank.
Tell him how you got the name.
Dr. Seuss?
One Fish, Two Fish. Yeah.
Red fish, blue fish.
Now,
that's what you told me.
Dr. Seuss people are going to come after me now. See?
Especially the people that think that Dr. Seuss was racist. Maybe we shouldn't talk about
one fish. It's called One Fish, Two Fish trademark.
No, it's not. anyway, check it out.
And, isn't that what they used to say in Modern Family? TM at the end of everything.
Did you just trademark that?
So we are lucky enough, even though Danielle can't be with me, we have Matthew on to pull up the slack for Danielle's COVID fog brain, which is probably just her normal brain.
It is my normal brain. I don't think I have fog.
A little fog.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
COVID or just being a mother now?
Just life.
Yeah, I don't think it's COVID.
Listen. You should see her hold up in this room.
Oh my God, my quarantine room.
She's sitting in the room and all of her emotions pouring out of her. She's just like this image when you open the door, you get a direct view of her.
Yeah,
she's just sitting
the
there in some sad pose.
It is
watching
really
General Hospital on her laptop or something.
It's literally.
I couldn't have had less sympathy for her today when she texts me, I'm so bored. I go, do you know how many people would love to be like feeling fine, but COVID positive and be isolated alone, like they could do anything. I'm like, paint, read a book, like go in the garden, take a walk.
When you can't go out,
why are you
is
so
when
bored?
You want to go out.
Yeah, why are you so bored?
I have errands to do.
You got a house to clean.
Oh my God. This is the perfect time to do some little like self-care, like a little like, I want to paint. I have no time to paint. I'm with the kids or I'm working all the time.
Want to paint?
You literally made an art room in your house, and now you don't want to paint?
No, I made the art room. She doesn't paint in there.
Oh,
I don't like painting.
What? You literally majored in it?
No, I literally did not major in painting.
Groundbreaking information.
Wait,
What is she saying? What is she saying? Encanto. She goes, that is a serious. What did she say to her? She goes, that is a serious confession. We should talk about that. Hug it out. That's a serious confession.
Listen, painting is not my medium.
Okay, I'm so sorry. Create art instead of painting. Is that something you could do?
It's fine.
By the way, God, Danielle.
I'm throwing out all of those, whatchamacallit?
No, acrylics.
No.
No, the what are those big things called? Canvas. Canvases.
No.
I got you like a bunch of those. You haven't painted on one now.
I need to find inspiration.
What's your medium, Danielle, if it's not painting?
I like charcoal and mixed media.
Well, hello. You've had plenty of time with the kids in school this week and you being quarantining. So why didn't you do that, bro?
I have plenty of time. Listen,
you've been watching hours of General Hospital. I'm sure Matt can.
I'm depressed. If you guys also don't know, my dog died. Okay. So that on top of COVID, I'm depressed. You think my
dog died card?
You think my creative mind wants to?
Where's your integrity?
My integrity. Fuck off. <Where's your integrity? laughs> Show started, for God's sakes.
So yeah, it's been a shitty week.
Fuck off COVID and Mercury and all those other.
Yeah, Mercury is in retrograde and we're just blaming everything that went.
Like six planets. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Six. Why planets? Six?
Just to fuck with us. I don't know.
Anyway, fuck off, universe.
Okay. So are you ready?
Like I told you, man, it's always a very long tangent in the beginning.
That's okay. I'm fine with that. What's this show called again?
Oh my God.
You think you gets it?
Are we allowed to drink on the show?
That's all we do, baby.
Okay. If you listen, you would hear my mom complain.
Wait, shh, Danielle, quiet. He's glugging. That actually sounded like urinating.
Well, I may have been doing that too off camera.
So I have a margarita. Matthew, what do you have?
Some wine
that dad brought.
It's a red.
It's a red.
It's from the North American territory.
Oh, be more boring. What is it? A Cabernet? Is it a Pinot?
Syrah.
A Syrah.
Oh, I'm not really a Syrah fan.
Yeah, brought it. It's from his fancy wine of the month.
I'm not really an anything fan. I'm just a guy who drinks. So
you're an alcohol in general.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's got alcohol in it, I like it.
You're a feeling good fan. Whatever makes you feel good.
Oh yeah, what's the point,
man? I can't drink not to feel good, you know, or something.
Why aren't you allowed to drink?
Yeah, they said it's not good for the immune system.
Oh Jesus. Okay. All right, well, let's get the show on the road. You ready?
1, 2, 3
go. Okay. Oh no, welcome back to Did Not Need to Know. I thought I was just gonna go straight into the story. Welcome back to Did Not Need to Know. I'm Jenna.
I'm Danielle.
I love true crime.
I hate it.
Every week I get to tell Danielle stories that she did not need to know.
Nope.
And this week we have Matthew, her hubby, creator of One Tag, Two Tang. Check him out. Instagram, YouTube. And
Twitter now.
Twitter now. I don't do Twitter.
You don't do Twitter.
Twitter is really stupid.
Well, we can't bash that.
No, Twitter's great. I just don't use it. That's all.
Maybe we're just too old for Twitter. I don't know.
We said that on a previous episode that we were too old for Twitter.
Who did, Matthew?
Me and you. On a previous episode.
Oh, us.
Yes. Oh.
Okay, you ready for the story?
Yeah, you said Matt knows it and you think.
I don't know. I said I think probably Matt would know it. Do you? I texted it to you, Matt.
Yeah. Well, I've seen parts. May have seen all the movie.
What?
I don't know how closely it aligns with.
It's on Netflix?
No.
She doesn't know what it is yet, right?
No, it's the whole premise. I literally texted you the premise is that she doesn't know.
Anyway, there's this guy. His name is the Humpback of Notre Dame. And climbs a tower or something, and he rings.
Has a really wonky eye.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about, right? I told you I saw the movie. It's a cartoon, actually. Anyway,
it's actually, nope, not it.
Wait, before we jump in, did you guys see the Dahmer trailer?
I sent it to Danielle and Bob from Formidable.
I love Evan Peters, right? That's his name.
I love Evan Peters too, Matt.
Good. He's top notch.
He's scary good.
Mar of, what was the name?
Mayor of Easttown.
Mayor of Easttown?
Yeah.
That was a good show too.
I did like that. He was great in that too.
He was awesome.
Wait, who was he in Mayor of
Easttown? He was like the cop, the young cop that like he's straight edge or he's not that great.
Spoiler, he gets his head blown off.
Oh, what?
You got it. You got to give more time. Was,
yeah, you got to
wait,
say,
wait, sorry. Spoiler. Pause.
That was really bad.
Also, fuck spoilers. That's been out for like a year. So if you haven't watched it,
we've talked about it in previous episodes.
That's your fault.
Good job.
I guess I feel like spoilers have a statute.
That's your fault. That's not nice.
Well, spoilers have a statute of limitations for what? One a year. I feel like after a year, like that's on you then. Nick Markowitz. Okay, let's get back to him. So he spent most of his days liking to go for walks.
Wait. He's been abducted?
The abduction of Nicholas Markowitz.
Okay, he's gone. Okay, goodbye.
Okay.
I do this
every time, and it throws me off every time.
Oh, sorry.
He spent most of his days liking to go for walks, hanging out with his older brother, Ben. They said he was a theater kid, and he was 15 years old. So he was hoping to get his driver's license very soon. So it was the last day of summer on August 6, 2000. Nick decided to sneak out of his house to avoid arguing with his parents, Jeff and Susan. So he was 15 at the time. He was, you know, the normal amount of rebellious, you know, his parents the night before found like his pipe that he was smoking pot from. So they got into argument the night before. So he snuck out midday to kind of avoid the continuance of the fight, you know, normal teenage crap, you know, he wasn't a bad kid. So he sneaks out. It's 1 p.m. in the afternoon, bright daylight at this time. At that time, it was unfortunate timing. A guy, 20 years old, named Jesse James Hollywood. So this guy is a real piece of shit. He's a wannabe gang leader.
His what? Real name is Jesse James Hollywood.
Yeah. So thank you for bringing that up.
Fucking right mind would name their child that.
So yeah, that was what I was going to say. Either you're hoping that your child is going to be a movie star or literally a gangster named after Jesse James, you know, yeah. Like.
Yeah. Bad move, people.
Yeah. Jesse James Hollywood, like legal name, Jesse James Hollywood. Ridiculous.
That's stupid.
Okay. So Jesse James is a wannabe gang leader and drug leader for his little gang. So at this time he was driving around and about to confront Nick's older brother, Ben. So apparently Ben owed Jesse James money.
Uh-oh.
He owed him about $1,200 and Ben had begun to distance himself from that group. He didn't really want to be part of that crew anymore.
You still got to pay up, buddy. Well, it's true what you think. You just walk away. If I watched enough mob movies out there, is you cannot walk away.
I mean, he'll pay it.
Listen, we know us. Hello. Do we know a serial killer who over a drug bust with people not having the wrong money? Remember?
What?
I think he was the one his mind was already lost
over here. The one that we always talk about.
Oh, the one from our town. Yeah, no, we're not going to talk about that.
No,
yeah, but like to Matt's point, that guy was off his fucking rocker before that.
But people do things over money. Listen, all the mob movies out there, they're always saying you got to pay up.
Let's bring it back. Let's wind it down. Let's reel it in.
Okay. This was a bad idea.
Matt's not a fan of our tangents, Danielle. Blah, blah, blah. Money. Ben had begun to distance himself from the group. So according to Ben Markowitz, Nick's brother, later on, he said he believes Jesse James Hollywood was not driven by money or drugs to abduct Nicholas. Rather than he was mostly angry because Ben had dumped him as a friend and moved on to a, quote, cleaner life. At one point, the two of them had worked out daily at the Malibu gym, but Ben had stopped selling drugs for him. He moved into his dad's West Hills home and was working as a machinist in the family aerospace business. His new early morning schedule did not leave him much time for his other friends. Quote, it was when I stopped hanging out with him and started working with my dad that Jesse James really got upset, Ben said. I was getting on with my life. I was going to get married. I was doing what I thought was the right thing, what I still think was the right thing. Everything just kind of fell apart. So Ben Markowitz, Nick's older brother, admitted that he sold marijuana and ecstasy and owed Jesse James about $1,200, like I said. But his old friend seemed to be more angry about the fact that Ben, you know, had told authorities about an insurance fraud scam that Jesse James was running. So Jesse had reported one of his cars missing and hoped to collect $36,000 on the scheme, but Ben had ruined that as a kind of like, fuck you, this needs to be done, I'm out of this kind of thing. So Jesse James is frustrated that he couldn't force Ben back into the fold of the gang and was determined to save his reputation. There, you know, people were saying like, oh, Ben is not afraid to double cross you, you know, like he's more powerful than you kind of thing. So he wanted to get his reputation back. So when the opportunity presented itself, Jesse James abducted Nick Horowitz when he saw him walking on the side of the road after he left his parents' house that day at 1 p.m. So he did this with the help of his friends, William Skidmore, who's 20 years old, and Jesse. What's that?
What a name, Skidmore.
Yeah, that's, it doesn't bring good images to my brain.
Oh, it's poop. Poop. Just say it.
So William Skidmore, 20 years old, and Jesse Rouge. So this is another Jesse. So I'm just going to keep saying Jesse James Jesse Rouge. So Jesse Rouge is 21 years old at this time. And sorry, Jesse James Hollywood is 20 years old.
Very young in this.
Young and dumb.
Well, when you're dumb, a lot happens, you know, after like school.
Yeah.
I feel like your early 20s, like you'd be hard. You'd be hard pressed to find anybody making really good decisions in their early 20s.
I know, but if you leave like high school, some of you graduate even, and you are like, just decide you're going to be like a gangster. Mm-hmm. You're obviously up to some shit pretty quick. You know, you're not.
Yeah. Living kind of like an aimless, not really productive person in society. Mm-hmm. Okay. So again, like I said, this happened in broad daylight when he abducted Nick and threw him into their van or their truck, whatever they had. People were walking about, people heard screaming, so many witnesses to this abduction. A neighbor who witnessed it called 911 and had reported the license plate, but the police couldn't find the van. So Nick was initially bound with duct tape and had his pager, wallet, and Valium and weed taken by them. Valium. Which, oh my God, just a side note. Could you imagine being kidnapped and not being able to take the Valium that you're hanging out with?
I know. Damn.
That sounds...
Do you think he was selling the Valium?
No, Nick was apparently just like wasn't a drug dealer at all. It was Ben.
What? So he has Valium and weed. Was he just in a coma every night?
Well, he's 15 years old. Maybe he has anxiety. Maybe he's just having a good time. I don't know.
Bedtime recipe.
But that is a bedtime recipe. You're right. So they take his stuff. So after the abduction, they drive around. They drive north to Jesse Rouge's Santa Barbara house. So this is where it gets weird. It's not like a normal kidnapping. And if you remember the movie actually did a pretty good job of staying pretty accurate to actually what happened. They only changed like the names and locations of things, but the events were pretty spot on. They had to change the names and locations because during filming of the movie, there was actually like the real trial was happening at the same time.
Oh shit.
Oh, okay.
So legally they had to.
Where did this movie come out? I forget.
Like 2007, 2008, something like
that. Yeah, that's a good fact check.
That's pretty. Oh my God. I think we've been forgetting to fact check the last few episodes.
We did. Well, we've been doing a lot of live fact checks like in the moment. Yeah. But if you want to put your phone on airplane mode and fact check the release date of this movie, Alpha Dog, that'd be cool.
Okay.
So, like I said, they portrayed it pretty well. So the weird part was that Nick wasn't ever chained up. He wasn't locked away in a room anywhere. He was allowed to hang out in the house at Jesse Rouge's house. He played video games with them. You know, they had parties in the house with other people there. He actually, like, for the most part, like, had a pretty good time. And most of the people that were partying around them didn't know that he was actually kidnapped. So he became friends with one guy in particular named Graham Presley. quote, he told me that it was okay because he was doing it for his brother and that as long as his brother was okay, he was okay, said Presley.
God, I remember this. I'm having PTSD.
Oh, do you remember watching the movie now?
Yes. I'm having PTSD.
That's who I want to say. So the guy who plays Nick Markowitz is Anton Yelchin. That guy's story in and of itself gives me such anxiety of how he died in real life. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Crushed by his own Jeep, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was like a recall on his car. And like when he pulled up to his mailbox, he put his car in park, but he didn't put like the emergency brake on, or maybe he did. And there was like a recall that like the brakes could fail. And when he went to the mailbox, the car like crushed him.
Ooh. Yeah. Rolled and crushed him. Why are you
rolled? Well, just because I feel really bad for Anton Yelchin.
A depressing story inside of a depressing story. Thank you. So fact check, it came out in 2006. So this happened.
I said 2007.
Yeah, I know you're close.
That was really close.
But that's like, so it must've been something real bad for them to make a movie on it 6 years later. Oh, I saw that.
Why don't you listen and you'll find out.
Yeah. Well, it's really fucked up.
I mean, did you hear him?
Like, what did he say?
He said, why don't you listen more and you find out?
Danielle likes to interrupt with crazy questions.
Sometimes I ask very good questions.
Sometimes you do.
Mom, I do say more times than not. Right, Mom?
Right, Mom. She's not here, Danielle, for your approval. Cool.
But when this airs, she'll text me and say, you're right.
Yeah, she'll text you and be like, Jenna, I'm really mad at you. And Danielle, great job.
That's usually how it goes.
Danielle, you need to talk more. Jenna, I'm not talking to you for a day because that was a terrible story.
Be nicer to your sister. You're traumatizing her.
Yeah.
All right.
So Nick did tell some people over the few days that he was being held there by Jesse James. But when people offered to help him escape, he said no, because he didn't want to cause trouble for his brother, Ben. He didn't want to escalate the situation. He thought it'd be resolved in a few days because that's what Jesse James was telling him. He's like, I'm using you so your brother will settle the debt, you know, and then I'm going to let you go. So he believed him. He was fucking 15 years old, you know, like he's like, oh, I'm not handcuffed anywhere. I'm smoking weed, drinking, partying, you know, I'm not chained right. up.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, right.
Doing all those things, he clearly wasn't all that scared. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was a level of
young, 15, you know, naive.
Probably really believed that.
Yeah.
That, let go.
Yeah, that Jesse James was going to like do right by him.
It was like a level of comfort, you know?
Yeah, like comfort and ignorance. Like ignorance is
yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead.
So Nick stayed there. And he even declined to run when the person that he befriended, Graham Presley, one of Jesse James's, you know, lackeys there, drove him around in the car. And he's like, let me just help you escape. I'll get you out of here. And he was like, no, it's fine. What's that?
One of Jesse James said that?
One of Jesse James's lackeys. So he became friends with this guy named Graham Presley. And when they were driving around the car, you know, going in between houses, whatever, he's like, let me just get you out of here and help you escape. Like, you need to get out of the situation. And he was like, no, I don't want to make things worse. It's fine. It's going to be over with soon.
Okay.
So according to Susan Markowitz, Nick's mom, and Ben, his older brother's stepmom, Nick idolized Ben, put him on a pedestal. So, you know, it makes sense that he was like, it's fine. I don't want to ruffle any more feathers that need to be, you know?
Okay.
So August 8th, which was 2 days later after his abduction, Jesse James said he would be releasing Nick the next day. So all the friends that were hanging out together at Jesse Ruge's house were like, oh, great. Let's throw Nick a going away party. You know, we've really liked Nick. You know, this has been cool hanging out with him. Let's do a big party. What's that?
It's weird. It's whole situation is weird.
I mean, think about the ages here. Like you do.
Yeah.
These are people that would have been in college at frat parties doing like reasonable, stupid shit.
Yeah. Sure.
These are drug dealers unsupervised, you know, like
bad stuff all around. Okay.
20-year-old drug dealers. So they throw him a goodbye party at the Lemon Tree Inn.
It's like an actual organized party, not just
like literally like
it's at a place and they have a venue.
I don't know the full details.
Does it say like how far away like where he would be living would be?
So from he was in LA and they drove to Santa Barbara.
So Santa Barbara's out towards the south, right? So
I don't know. Fact check that. I thought Santa Barbara was a
few hours away.
Fact check.
Hold on, I'm going.
Live fact check. Okay, so she's fact checking. So they're at the Lemon Tree Inn. Jesse James told Jesse Rouge that Nick was going to go home the next day on the 9th. So Jesse Rouge said to Nick, I'm going to take you home. I'll put you on a Greyhound. I'm going to get you home. It's going to be fine. So unbeknownst to his crew, Jesse James Hollywood had spoken to his family lawyer on the 8th. He asked his lawyer a hypothetical question. He's like, so if one man was to kidnap another man to settle a debt, how much trouble would he be in? And his lawyer, what's that?
No, I just said,
It's hard to ask a lawyer.
Right? What's the lawyer going to say?
So the lawyer is like, well, I hope that isn't really happening because it doesn't matter the circumstances. Kidnapping is kidnapping, whichever way you slice it, you know, and that person would be charged and most likely would go to jail for kidnapping, especially if
you know what got away with this? You know what got away with this?
I don't know.
Michael Scott, when he kidnapped that pizza delivery guy.
From the office. You're right.
Let him go. That's really good.
He wouldn't accept the coupon, so he kidnapped him.
Full circle, talking about the patient on Hulu from the beginning of this episode.
There you go.
Steve Carell, what a guy.
What a guy. Just sidebar real quick. Can we give a shout out to Steve Carell's beard? That man is aging beautifully because I didn't find him attractive in the office, but he's looking really good with a beard these days.
Fine.
Yeah, he definitely looks better with the beard.
What? He looks beautiful all the time.
Beautiful? You're so cute. So where did you find it? Is it north or south? What were you talking about?
North of Los Angeles.
Okay.
How far away?
California is a big place and Los Angeles has got a lot of traffic. So I'm going to say it's probably at least hour and a half to 2 hours away.
Okay. 2 hours.
That's what I was guessing.
Even though it looks pretty close. So it's hard to say. But either way, it's far enough to be.
Our California people can.
Giving a go-away party, you know.
Yeah, chime in, Californians.
Our California people can yell at us if they want to. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
Okay. So the lawyer is like, bad news bears. Don't do that. Hope that didn't happen. So Hollywood freaks out, you know, at this point. He's like, fuck, I can go to jail. So because he's an asshole, his brain goes to, well, obviously, I need to eliminate this situation as if it never happened.
Now, wait. Before you go on, and maybe you're going to address this. What's going on at home with Nick and
his brother? Parents are not
there's
saying
no
anything.
Alarms. There's no news coverage. There's no.
Yeah. So, like I said, the people saw him being abducted. Parents reported him missing. But I really wanted to know if Ben knew about his older brother, knew about that he was kidnapped and that all he had to do was like repay the debt. I like Googled the crap out of this and I would love if like someone could tell me if they know something different, but it seems like, cause Ben, how could he not know if all of his friends knew and all these random people knew? Right. So it seems like Ben knew and just didn't think that Jesse James was going to do anything serious and thought it was just going to all blow over.
Maybe he had like a too. Maybe there was someone there that was kind of like,
so you're saying both of the brothers thought the same thing, that it wasn't going to be that big of a deal.
Yeah. Like granted, this was only like over a 2-day period. So things like escalated quickly, you know, like who knows how quick news traveled and when Ben actually knew. But it's still like sketchy, like, you know, if Danielle was kidnapped, I'd be like, well, I'd be banging down doors. And,
right,
and
you don't wait 2 nights. It's like, no, 2 nights.
You know, you'd be like, give me
my brother back.
Yeah. Even if you think it's going to blow over, you still go there and be like, can I have my brother back? I'll give you the money.
Logically, you know? I mean, logically, you got to think that this guy, Ben, has friends in that group still. I mean, he was part of it.
Yeah.
So maybe someone's feeding him information and saying, like, your brother's fine. Let's just wait till this blows over and not make a big deal out of it. And then it'll be good for everybody. You know, he'll get let go. You won't really have to pay the debt and no one will be hurt, blah, blah, blah.
You know? He did say afterwards, but like, what is he supposed to say? He did say afterwards that he did not think anything was going to come from this. So who knows? Ben said that. Yeah.
Well, he was wrong.
So like I said, Jesse James is freaking out at this point. He became convinced that Nick was the only way to escape this was to kill Nick and asked Jesse Rouge to do it for him. Jesse Rouge declines. He's like, absolutely not doing that. So Jesse James contacts a man, 21-year-old guy named Ryan Hoyt, who is part of his crew as well. So he says, quote, I got a little situation. You're going to take care of it for me. And that's how you're going to clear your debt that you owe me. And then after you're done, I'll give you $400. So like Ben, Ryan also was indebted to Jesse James and he owed some money. So like, you do this, your debt's cleared. Plus I'll give you some money.
So he was like, all right, sign me up.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big thing to do. That's a big ask.
That's a really big ask. $400. So similar to, like I said, Ben Markowitz's situation, but where Ben refused to be intimidated or scared by Jesse James Hollywood, Ryan Hoyt was kind of like a kiss ass and wanted to be a part of the crew. So he said, yes. So Jesse James would make Ryan like his like little bitch. So sorry, that's crude, but like he would make him pick up after his dog, pick up after people at the parties, serve people at the parties, like literally like his little like man slave. So Jesse James, when he asks him and Ryan says yes, he hands him a bag with a semi-automatic rifle. Uh-oh. And it's like, here you go. So poor Nick thought that Ryan Hoyt was driving him home to LA. Aww. To his family, but instead Ryan was driving to a hiking trail in Goleta, in a park, and to a trail called the Lizard's Mouth. So I looked it up. It looks like this like rocky area and kind of like the woods and the mountains with like a cliff that kind of looks like a lizard's tongue, like that.
Sure.
So Lizard's Mouth. So they drive him there. Then they put duct tape around his wrists and his mouth and they took him into the forest. Like I read some reports that it was like a 12-mile walk, but I feel like that's
crazy.
I feel like it might've been like 12 miles from where the party was and maybe not a 12-mile walk. Cause that sounds insane.
They're not walking 12 miles with that.
No, they're drug dealing slackers. Mm-hmm.
This is like during the party.
So like after the party in like the early morning.
They're driving home.
Ooh. How do you still hit a microphone when there's no microphone to hit? This is what I'm dealing. She's not even drinking anything.
I have the computer hanging over the edge so Matt could be closer to it.
Did your gummy literally just kick in?
In about 5 minutes ago, I was trying to be like a little chill about this.
Really?
And then I go and hit the computer. My bad. Blowing my spot.
Okay. So that he's duct taped around his mouth and his wrists. So here's where it gets not so great. They take him to the forest. They take him up onto the little cliff, Lizard's Mouth, and they have him kneel next to this shallow grave that Ryan had previously dug like earlier.
Ugh.
And Ryan hits him over the head with a shovel and then shoots him 9 times, which is like excessive.
Excessive. What the fuck?
There's no need for that. So because they're geniuses, obviously, they put just like, it's a shallow grave and they just put like rocks and like twigs and local debris on top of him.
Really covered him up in this big hole. So someone's going to fall into a hole with a dead body if they're walking over there.
Not really, because it's a really popular hiking trail for its views and everything. So a couple days later, hikers literally come across the shallow grave. They could clearly see his body.
Yeah.
And they call 911.
Yeah, don't take him off the path or anything, the trail.
be like, what's the view with what's the place with the greatest view that people would love to come to? Let's kill him right there.
The laziest murder I've ever heard of.
It's not even lazy. It's like really like dumb. It's like not even well thought out.
Are you gonna find that? Why even hike, go on a trail to next to a dumpster?
Okay.
Well, all right. You know what I mean. Doesn't need to be a beautiful scenery. Like,
so police are on the scene. They identified that it's Nick, and they unfortunately have to inform his parents, which is heartbreaking because they didn't exactly leave things on good terms with Nick. They were fighting about pot, which I'm sure seems so frivolous afterwards. So once the info came out that Nick's body was found, a bunch of people that had been like partying with him all weekend were like, holy shit, we thought he was going to just get released. This was all like a no big deal. So they contacted the police. They tell the police everything that they know, who he was with, what was happening. So
this guy, Jesse James, didn't really think this through.
No, it was they're all the worst at planning this.
The worst. Like
when evidence leads back to you clearly, like you can't be making mistakes. You know what I mean?
First off, what right mind did he think that he could just kidnap somebody and bring him back and be like, sorry.
Literally less things would have happened to Jesse James if he just let him go. I bet you nothing would have happened because the kid,
men in their stupid pride,
the kid wasn't even that worried about it.
He wasn't even hurt. He was partied. You know what I'm saying? If he let him go, probably nothing would have happened to Jesse James. Like it's ridiculous that he was like, oh no. 1,000 people saw me with him. Now I need to kill him. And that'll erase everything. Like,
wow. And now I'm not a very smart guy.
No, very stupid.
No, so stupid. So within a week after Nick's body is discovered, Ryan Hoyt and most of the people in Jesse James's crew were in custody. Yeah. But Jesse James was tipped off and fled the country.
Oh, what the fuck?
So police arrested Jesse Rouge, Ryan Hoyt, and Graham Presley within a week. Jesse James had fled to Colorado before his trail went cold on August 23rd. So Hollywood remained a fugitive for almost 6 years until he was found in Rio de Janeiro in 2005. So long time.
How'd they find him?
So I'll tell ya. Police found him under the alias of Michael Costa Giroux by tracing his father's phone calls. So they tapped his dad's phone.
Oh.
So at this time, shithead Jesse James was married with a child living in Brazil, which is unfair.
Right. Like, oh, I just did all this terrible shit.
Married some Brazilian, had a baby.
You don't get to live that nice life. I don't think so, sir.
No cushy life for you, sir.
So, happy news, though. Jesse James Hollywood was sentenced to life in prison.
Good. Piece of shit.
Ryan. Yeah, he's the mastermind. Like, fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Hoyt was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to death because he did kill him. You know?
Oh, my God. He's
usually pretty still on death row. Probably.
Yeah, no, he's still on death row at this time. Okay. Like, death row takes forever because, you know, like, what if other evidence comes up, appeals and all that shit? So Jesse Rouge, remember, it was his house. He was part of the initial abduction to the van. He was convicted of kidnapping and served 11 years, while William Skidmore was convicted of the same sentence, convicted of the same, but sentenced to 9 years via a plea deal. So I guess like admitting that it was Jesse James's idea.
Right.
Graham Presley, the guy that had befriended him and tried to get convinced. Oops, sorry. No, I hit the microphone. Try to convince Nick to escape. So Presley was underage at the time. Ooh. And so he was sent to a juvenile facility for 8 years only.
Only 8 years.
Well, okay.
He just got out recently, probably.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I guess if it was 2006 was the trial.
It's 8 years, probably.
2014, he probably got out.
Yeah, or maybe earlier.
Yeah, he got out. So it was years now.
Oh, shit.
I mean, 8 years, that's like, if they say 8 years, like, he could have gotten out for good behavior
Yeah.
earlier. So, like, these, like, dipshits. They were just like tough guy wannabes, you know, suburban kids in California who got drawn into like Jesse James, who was like charismatic and just like a troublesome wannabe drug dealer, gang leader, you know? So I researched a little bit about Jesse James Hollywood's life and how he went through this like path. But I honestly, I was so disgusted by him and his nonsense that like, I'd rather not highlight like this asshole's life more than it has been. So I would just like to leave it as he got a sentence of life in prison and he's still in jail.
Mm. There we go. Motherfucker.
So, where Nick Markowitz was murdered, like on the cliff of Lizard's Mouth, was like a big bouldery thing. Mm-hmm. And people made kind of like a monument. It looks like almost like they carved into the rock with his name and his date of birth and his date of death right there. So it's like really sad though. Like, I don't know. It's like, ooh, like right there is where he was murdered. I know some people have brought up like those, like, what are they called? Like when you're like a ghost hunter and you have those like machines, those ghost machines.
Oh, I don't know.
Matt said orb.
No, it's like those little, like, what is it? Like, electromagnetic field. Yeah. Is it EMF devices?
Sure.
Anyway.
I don't know if that's real.
I made it up. Okay, great.
Well, the name of it, that doesn't sound right.
But like, you know, those little like little machines where they talk in like the static and then the ghost voice comes through the static and everything.
I kind of know what you're talking about.
White noise machine.
Yeah. Kind of pretend to know.
Anyway, people like brought them up there and I watched this one video of this guy on YouTube and him and his boyfriend brought it up and like, there's like this creepy voice coming through saying like, go. And they're like, Nick, like if it's you, tell us, you know, like, we're here to help you and like talk through it. And he's like, literally there's this voice crackling through saying, go, go. So I don't know what that means, but it really freaked me out because I don't like ghost stuff.
You know what's sad about this whole story is like, there were very many people like willing to like help him.
Yeah.
He was like, no, I'm going to do the right thing by my brother.
Stupid ass brother.
And then he just dies because he didn't take the help.
There was a lot of people, like not even the people that I mentioned. There's apparently like so many more people that are like, dude, like just come home with us. We'll like take you home. He's like, no, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. Like 15-year-old kid, so innocent, not thinking that someone would actually kill him.
Yeah, like a 20 or 21-year-old to a 15-year-old is like, you know, different. It's like a big gap.
So yeah, probably, they look up to him.
No, like, and like, honestly, like your like cognitive reasoning is so different between 15 and 20.
He was led to believe he was going to be okay. That's all.
Yeah. And like, honestly, like at that age, like your cognitive reasoning, like you just, your brain isn't mature enough to honestly understand like consequences of certain situations, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just a sad story. And
it is very sad. And I don't like it because I remember the movie and it was really bad.
I can't believe you watched the movie, to be honest.
I don't.
Timberlake was the villain, right?
He's bad.
I think I watched it because that was like Justin Timberlake's first movie after his first movie ever, but after like NSYNC broke up and he had his like first like debut album. And I was like, Justin Timberlake, oh my God, his first movie. And I remember watching that. And I think Justin Timberlake was supposed to represent Graham Presley, if I'm not wrong, which is the guy that befriended him.
IMDb's not working. I can't look it up.
What are you trying to look up?
I'm on a computer.
Oh my God. Shut up.
Omamic?
What?
She said, oh my God, I'm on a computer.
What are you trying to look up?
I'm trying to look up who the bad guy was.
Yeah. Who Justin Timberlake played.
Justin Timberlake was in The Bad Guy. So,
oh, I didn't know.
Okay. He wasn't like Jesse James Hollywood. Hollywood was, oh my God, now my brain's not working. he's like short.
The guy from Into the Woods, right?
Yeah. No, not Into the Woods. The guy that did the on the, like on his own.
Hold
like,
on. I'm on IMDb and I'm looking up.
Hold on.
Well, I'm on IMDb.
No, I'm on IMDb.
No, I'm on. This is the worst podcasting.
Blake was like the main character, though.
Emile Hirsch.
Emile Hirsch is Jesse James Hollywood. Thank you.
His name?
Just him?
God, what are you doing? Do you even know how to use a computer? No.
And you know who was the crazy guy?
He's from Into the Woods, right?
No, stop saying Into the Woods. Wrong movie.
What's all right, I'm going to Into the Wild.
Into the Wild. Into the Woods is literally a Broadway play.
Same thing.
Into the Woods is a musical.
He was in The Girl Next Door. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Oh, right. He was the kid in The Girl Next Door.
Yeah.
Into the Wild, Into the Woods. It's basically the same thing.
Into the Woods, Into the Woods.
And then do you remember this guy? I'm going to show you his picture. He's the one that is supposed to be Ryan Hoyt.
Oh, that's the CEO of Papa John's. Papa John, right?
Stop it. What the fuck? No, he was in Southland, outside what? Providence.
It looks like Papa John.
John Q.
What the racist
his
thing?
Name is Sean.
About his
Hatsoe?
His cancellation years ago.
No, I forget.
Oh my God. Apparently, dickhead Amber Heard was in this movie.
Oh,
so was Olivia Wilde. Do I need to rewatch this movie?
Yes, you do.
In the preview that I clicked on.
I can't believe you didn't watch this before this, Jenna.
Yeah, Jenna,
I did. I watched this back in 2006, this movie. So I have a memory like no other. No, it really scared me, this movie. Because I was like, people are this horrible? This poor teenager who did nothing wrong?
I mean, I remember the feeling, I don't remember much about the movie, but I remember the feeling of the movie is something bad's going to happen here. You know, like you see him get kidnapped and from that moment, you're like, oh God, is not going anywhere.
Can you just go home? Positive, can you go home? You know can you mean? Please send him home? Like,
yeah. Cause they literally like, imagine just like walking down the street, wanting to avoid your parents and a van starts chasing you down. And you have no fucking clue why. No. And then imagine being like walked into the fucking forest with duct tape over your eyes. Like that's horrifying.
Yeah, he should. I mean, we didn't.
It's just weird though. Yeah. No.
That scene, I remember that scene like really fucking freaked me out because like, I think maybe it wasn't that long of a scene, but in my brain, when I watched it, it was like the longest scene ever of them. Like, no, you do it. No, you do it. Like, don't kill him. I have to kill him kind of thing. And then like, it was terrible, terrible.
Yeah, it's just sad.
Why do you tell these stories again? This is uplifting.
Speaking of scary things, have you watched the new Pinocchio live action with Tom Hanks?
Okay, so
that's pretty scary.
I have a lot of thoughts and feelings about this. First of all, Ella, my 5-year-old, cannot say Pinocchio, and it's like Eokiokio, and
yeah, that's the same thing.
It's adorable. So I was really excited, and because it was like maybe the day after Madison Square Garden. And I was like, I need a chill night with these kids. So I was like, we're going to have a movie night and watch the new Pinocchio. And I was like, Kieran, Tom Hanks, obviously we can watch it. It's fine. It's Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks creeped me out, to be honest, the whole time.
Why?
It was like a creepy accent. And he was like basically talking to himself the whole time. It really freaked me out. I love Tom Hanks, but I did not enjoy this movie one bit.
Really? And
no.
That's disappointing. It's I think
Pinocchio,
I'm still going to try.
Jenna. Maybe for Pinocchio.
Not one bit. Kieran's critique, which I would say usually I don't agree with anything Kieran says, but Kieran's critique was that, spoiler, unlike all the other...
Wait.
We're going to watch it.
Shut your mouth right now.
Seriously, guys?
Yeah,
it's a fucking Disney movie that's been told 1,000 times.
Shut your mouth.
I'm going to fill up a pillowcase of bar soap.
If you spoil another thing on this show.
That's two spoilers.
Like I asked you, I started this conversation asking you if you've watched Pinocchio because I'm genuinely interested.
I did. I didn't like it. And I'll just say the ending is not similar to any other Pinocchio movies, which is bullshit.
Pinocchio?
Pinocchio. Pinocchio. No, I didn't like it. And then I was reminded that as a child, I did not like this movie either.
Because the donkey scene is terrifying.
Wait,
okay?
Real quick. Was Justin Timberlake, Jonathan Taylor Thomas in a Pinocchio movie?
Oh my God.
Embarrassing fact about Jenna, super in love with JTT back in the day of my youth. Yeah,
all over your walls. You played
Jiminy Cricket, right?
You played Jiminy Cricket. Oh.
But you know who does play Jiminy Cricket in this one?
Jiminy Cricket. Isn't that a cracker? A Tricket? A Trisket?
A Tasket. No, yeah. So Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays the fucking cricket.
No way.
I looked it up.
Really?
I was like, am I attracted to this cricket right now? I might be.
I'm going to watch it.
Why would they make him a cricket?
JGL?
He's gorgeous.
JGL, man. Oh my God.
Why would they make him a cricket?
So John the Tiller Thomas, I was not lying.
I got to watch that one too. I got to watch that.
So creepy. It's the creepiest bird I've ever seen.
Guys, that's beautiful. Stop it.
You see him? I remember how scary it was.
Literally, the only reason I watched this is because I was in love. Like 10-year-old Jenna was in love with John.
You see his skin turn to wood. Like, you're terrified.
Okay, you know, can we just? I think Pinocchio turns into the villain, though. I mean,
he literally has no brain. He's manipulated by a scary wolf man.
He's an outright liar. Villain.
But can we look at how handsome JTT was back in the day? Can you see that? Is the light all fucking up? It's all camera lighting. There we go. Pack it up, pack it in.
Yeah.
Let it begin.
He looks like a ghost from the 1800s.
And okay. 1,000.
There's Jonathan Taylor Thomas for that.
He quit Hollywood. Anyway,
save your house.
Lock your doors.
Safety in numbers.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you like this episode, help us out and follow, subscribe, rate, and review. Share us with your friends on Instagram at Did Not Need to Know and Facebook and Twitter at DNNTK Podcast. We will be releasing new episodes every Monday. Bye.